All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, so I didn't follow my dad's footsteps to become a highway patrolman, but I kind of have an avocation for it, right? I've got a little bit of a passion for tire treadmark analysis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, there's a lot you can tell by how long a tread is, where it's at on the road, how fast they were going, and things like that. It's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, in a forensics kind of way. Like, it's something like I could see somebody explain to Ice-T and Ice-T not being that bored.
Yep. I don't know why Ice-T would be doing that. I think they're
because of SVU.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. The TV show that deals with all the SUV crimes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't that NC something SUV edition or whatever?
Oh, there's the one that Pulsier does.
Yeah.
The parrot. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are things that I saw in like previews or trailers on Children's Hospital.
Yes.
So I remember the SUV thing. No, but we're out here on the road. We're on I-71, and we're just out here looking to see if the tire marks speak to us. If they say anything, right?
Okay. I'll look at some tire marks.
Yeah. So get your ear right down to it and see.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, Gary, no. Get up. Run.
Okay.
Oh, no. Oh. What? Wait a minute. That's not a car. What is this thing? He's got, like, eyes. He's got a... Gary, this is a rocket robot on wheels.
It definitely seemed like that was going to hurt more.
Yeah.
So I think that was probably a rocket robot on wheels.
Yeah.
I'm glad we didn't end up doing, like, A-Train. Because then I would have been fucked. Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah, and this week we are talking about a game called Rocket Robot on Wheels. And this is a game that I believe was demanded. You might think that I would have that information up in front of me, but at the time I did not, and now I do. Yeah, so this was requested by a patron, Duo2QO, who says, "My sister's boyfriend used to bring this over when I was younger, and we would both get so fucking mad playing it. I'm not sure why we wasted any time on this poorly made Glover ripoff. Since we had better games, but I think it was just little kid patience. Also, IGN gave this game a 9 out of 10. And therein lies the rub, because this game was universally beloved when it came out."
I'm really happy to see, the person, you know, who wrote in for this, that they had that attitude, because I was expecting this to be like one, like a weird act of violence. You know, like Gary, you don't like rare collectathon 3D platformers. Well, here you go. And then also somebody like really hoping for Secret Redemption.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, we've done way worse stuff on the show.
Yeah.
I don't particularly care for this, but it is universally loved and loved today. Like, this is, this is one of the, like, probably the most loved games we've done on the show.
Yeah. So this is an N64 game. That's already here. So, man, that is the tricky thing when the thing you hate about something is the thing that somebody else loves about it almost universally down the road, because this is a collectathon platformer for the N64, which means that it ticks all of the boxes in the no column for us and all of the boxes in the yes column for people who exist, who I've seen.
The backers of ukulele.
For the back,
it's for the ukulele crowd backers. We're just like, yes.
I'm sold.
Like,
yes.
Yeah. And it's super. I mean, there's something else to this. We'll talk about it, because there is some interesting stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
But it is a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And like that's just a genre that I just don't think is super fun.
No.
And this game is like right out there. Like right in the intro, it's like, here's all the things you're gonna be collecting.
Yeah.
Here's another pile of things you're gonna be collecting. Like
they're literally
shameless.
In a room. Like, it is a pile of things, and they just, whoops. Yes. Oh no, the breeze took them.
It is super shameless. Like, here's all the deals.
Yeah.
Like, here's, and it's I was like, oh, you know, I've never liked these. Like, I remember liking the first Spyro. Okay, I don't think I would like it now, really.
Right.
You know, and like, I like Mario 64, but Mario 64 isn't a collectathon. Like, that's the, you know, it gets lumped in with those games, but it's not.
Yeah.
Like, you know, those stars are not things you collect. They're individual objectives. They're levels, essentially.
Right.
You know,
They're different levels in the same physical space.
Yeah. But the space gets recontextualized to have you do different shit.
Yeah.
So like, but you know, Banjo's Kazooie, which like I don't care for very much, and specifically your Donkey Kong 64, which I think is a travesty. Like I hate that game.
Yeah.
Are just about finding the things.
Yeah. And so this is developed by Sucker Punch, a game our studio you might recognize recently have been doing the Infamous games. And then something I think a lot of people really like them for is Sly Cooper, which is a series that people occasionally say, like, oh, you guys gotta do it. I think it would fall into a very similar thing as this.
Yeah, I mean, maybe someday. Like, you know, maybe someday. Yeah. They're, I think they get, I've read conflicting reports when that's come up on Slack, whether it's like, which one is the good one to go into? Because the one I remember playing, I remember there being, like, getting caught being a fail condition. Like, a spotlight would hit you, and then, like, that was the end of the level. Yeah. And that's not okay. You can't die once getting caught in a video game. That's unacceptable.
It's Banjo Cell.
Yeah, unacceptable. You know, and then, but the, you know, the actual kind of stealth elements and stuff, maybe later entries didn't do that.
Right.
You know, so like maybe they're good. I didn't keep stick with it.
Yeah.
Infamous, I always get confused. You probably know what
the series you get them confused games. with Prototype.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And one of them Will is like a huge champion of. Like Will's like, this is actually a really fun game, you should play it.
Yeah, Prototype is actually pretty fun. It's like it's the same people who did Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction.
Oh, I love that. And Crackdown.
Yeah. So you are Venom, and you are going around like taking over people's bodies and like charging up the sides of buildings and throwing cars.
Well, that's great. Like that is the one I should play.
Yeah,
because whenever he recommends, I can't. As soon as I hear it, because we've done our ramp, but like video game titles suck.
Yeah.
So whether it's Infamous or Prototype.
Yeah. Prototype was also initially it was developed as a Spider-Man game. And then it was changed around after that. Whereas
all those things, you're playing my tune.
Yeah, and Infamous, like I understand, it's an okay game, like it's an open world kind of thing. Both of those are kind of like you are a super powered individual. One of them was just PlayStation exclusive, but yeah, it was very much like an illusionist and prestige kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Infamous like has pretty good reviews too. Maybe that's good as well.
Yeah.
And there's an expansion called Infamous Festival of Blood. good for Infamous.
Yeah. I'm pretty I've got it on my PS4. I think I got it on PS Plus, Infamous First Light, where you're playing as a female protagonist who has control over the element of neon.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, so it's like pretty great. Like you're dashing along neon signs and stuff.
Like I'd probably like both these games sound relatively fine.
Yeah.
To me, like probably more than Sly, which I never got super into. I understand that people love them.
Yeah.
You know, but like the mascot platformer mascot game, like the cute animal thing is never going to do too much for me. And this is firmly in that where it's like, this guy's got eyes, you know, like he's got big googly eyes. Like check him out. You know,
love him. Oh, love him. He's
what other things have googly eyes? Everything. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. My Roomba has googly eyes.
Totally. Like that's essentially the design that goes into these mascot platformers is like, what if a thing had big eyes, you know, and then you even see it in like Ukulele. Like if you look at that, like that's what those creatures look like.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if that's a, you know, that game's getting like mixed reviews and stuff. Like even the best possible version of that wasn't for me. And if it's for you, that's great.
Yeah.
But it's like, from a design, like character standpoint, they just look like cell phone mascots to me. I can't unsee it.
Yeah. I mean, like you even go back to Banjo-Kazooie and you see the collectible in that is like literal just puzzle pieces with eyes sticking out of them.
Yeah. And Banjo I think is the worst of all of those. Like Banjo Banjo to me is like Banjo and Banjo 2 are like the bottom of the thing.
Yeah.
And then below that, even below the bottom, is Donkey Kong 64. And then even below that,
Donkey Kong 64 is especially galling because they took characters I really enjoy and kind of fucked them up.
You're a cranky man, huh?
I don't know. I like a Funky Kong. It's fine.
No to enjoy a Funky Kong.
hey, let it not be said that I never enjoyed a Funky Kong.
Yeah, like that's like the third, the lost verse to the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock. Let it be said. I grow old.
I grow old.
I grow old, my beard's long. I go to enjoy a Funky Kong.
Yeah. the mermaids on the street, they say to me,
like, collect the bananas, the banana tree, like banana tree. That's what the K is in.
Yep.
And that thing stands for Kong.
Yep. You mean the J?
Or the J? Yeah. I guess that is what I meant. Yeah. I meant the K in Proof Rock.
Okay. Yeah.
So Proof Rock Kong. The whole thing's an acrostic.
Yep.
You know.
So oh my god, literally. Okay, here's what you have to do. Either mod one of these platformers and make it so that I'm collecting all of the letters from the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock.
And like you take somebody like J. Alfred Prufrock and you're like, okay, proud, rockin', unique, fun, rules, awesome, cool,
awesome. You mean outstanding?
I know what I said.
Okay.
It's not just spell it, Cole. Like, it doesn't have to be.
Hey, all I'm saying is capitalize some stuff, you loser.
That's, yeah. Eh. That's, yeah. Leaves the grass my ass.
Wait a minute. Ass, leaves of grass, or cash. Nobody rides for free. You're just riding along in a truck, and you only give somebody a ride if they read to you from Walt Whitman.
Or fuck you, or give you some gas.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, you know. But that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. Oh, man.
So anyway, Rocket, the robot on wheels.
He's certainly that. I think that like the fundamental problem with these things, like, it's like I don't like collecting things. There's a cool hook to this, which I'll talk about in a second, but I just didn't like moving Rocket around. I wish Rocket didn't have wheels. I thought he was like slippery and has super weird momentum.
Yep.
And I think moving the camera around is frustrating. Like, not only is it reversed, like you swing it around like,
yeah,
you know, flight controls,
mm-hmm.
But it shunts in like these discrete units.
Yeah, and it's not quite like 90 degrees each time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can shunt it like 60 degrees every time you do it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the sound effect every time you do it. It's like super clunky to mm-hmm. me. I did not like how it felt.
No. Yeah. Definitely that momentum thing is a problem because like oftentimes in a platformer, you're trying to like change direction a lot. And because mm-hmm. he is on a wheel and some of this stuff, like, I mean, all of it is like physically modeled. You have to do like tight little circles and you will often just like, again, re-miss the thing that you were aiming for.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time in the very first area trying to get like, there were like three sets of, you know, platforms or four sets of platforms
yeah. with
like increasingly high value dumb collectibles.
Yeah.
And was doing, you know, trying to do the jumping to get up there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it'd be like the easiest thing in the world in Mario 64.
Yeah.
You know, or like even, you know, and even easier, obviously, in a 2D game, it'd be nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but here it's just like, man, why am I keep missing this?
Yeah.
You know?
And you could probably take something like, you know, to take a character who is on wheels like this and design a game that is meant to, you know, take advantage of his speed, right? Like put him on some tracks or any number of things. I only played the requisite half hour and then I kind of moused around on a let's play of this. And it just kind of like, he never really ends up going that fast. He, you know, it is mostly just kind of like going around on platforms and shit.
Yeah. It's got that little bit of that Sonic thing where it's like, you can move very quickly and he gets a lot of vehicles and things too, but the play is actually based
around. He already has wheels.
Well, he does, but he gets in a go-kart.
Yeah.
Like it's super dumb. It's like when you go to the grocery store and it shows there's all the vehicles that the Justice League get in, and then it's like, here's the Flash copter. And I'm like, literally, what is the Flash doing getting in a helicopter? Like,
yeah.
This whole thing.
Yeah, like that would be like me like getting in a car that in turn got up and walked on wheels or legs. Like
you drove onto one of those things that transports cars to the dealership.
Yeah.
Like, this will take me to work to save gas. You know? Like it's like drifting, but like like high, you know, high
I know you meant drafting, but drifting is better.
Yeah, it's its own word.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I just found Rocket really hard to control.
Yeah.
When you first start out with him and you're just testing buttons because you're playing After Suffering games, you're not going to read a fucking manual. It looks like he just has a flashlight that turns on. I was like, oh, that's weird. And when you go into the first world, it's like the Securitrons or whatever have been reactivated. You might want to sneak around them. I was like, oh, okay, there's a flashlight. This is going to be like a stealth Banjo-Kazooie, you know? But your flashlight is a telekinesis beam.
Yeah. So that thing I said about stuff being physically modeled, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. For its era.
Yeah.
You know, it this has, like, you have a little, like, TK beam, like you do in, you know, any number of games.
Yes, like Psychonauts is the closest thing I can think of to it.
Yes. And this was the first console game that had that kind of physics modeling.
In a 3D game. Yeah.
Yes, in a 3D game. So there's, like, mass, inertia, friction, things roll, things like that. Mm-hmm. Which, again, impressive for the time, but I don't think it, you know... I still don't think the experience of interfacing with it is very fun.
No, especially when what you get for that is you run into a new kind of gigaw, and then a text box pops up and says, if you collect 110 of these, I will blank X, Y, and Z.
Everything is, like, converted into a collectible of some kind. Mm-hmm. So that's the flaw. But again, that's not a flaw for some people. Like, some people are like, you know, this is, you know, put it in my veins. Like,
yeah, let me, it's their version of filling up meters, you know?
That's what it is. I was asking on Twitter, like, what's appealing about these things? And it's just the same, you know, it's like cleaning a room.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, you check things off a list. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's low pressure and there's no stakes and you just, like, are filling out, you know, it's essentially like, instead of playing Banjo-Kazooie, you just give these people a white piece of paper and a marker and say, okay, color this in black. And then, like, they'll just do that, and then once they're done, just be like, here's another one.
Yeah.
And it's essentially the same experience, like, just filling out a thing.
Yeah.
You know,
and, you know, Psychonauts is, you know, not entirely 100% great shakes, but I think they did a very good job of at least making some of those collectibles story bound. Like, when you find the emotional baggage, it opens up and you get those little slideshows that tell character stories. Like, that's the way you motivate me to do that. Like, I don't feel great about it, but, you know, at least it's not a complete wash.
That's the thing where it becomes kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing, because like tying. So if it's a mechanic, if it's a thing I don't want to do. So, like, you know, you want me to explore your world. That's the high level goal of any of this stuff, is get people to poke around quarters and shit. You do the Spyro route, which is like, just put a shiny thing there. And, like, people will just do that for the intrinsic thing and the feeling and the sound effect and the completionism and the fact that they'll hate themselves if they leave a stage uncleared.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to motivate me, but when Psychonauts does it, it's like, that does motivate me. The process of hunting them down, I still don't like that much.
Right.
You know, I still, like, I like exploring a level in Psychonauts on, like, the grand scheme of things. Like, concepts for levels are great.
Yeah.
Individual corners and, like, level design, not great. And, like, some of it's downright really bad. And not just, like, that meat tower everyone hates. Like, you know, some of the, like, actual physical space designs are terrible. That boss fight that happens in the play.
Mm-hmm.
In the musical, that's horseshit.
Yep.
There's a bunch of, like, just like, this is a really poorly designed set of platforms and jumping challenges. Why is this in this game that has so much personality and is so cute?
Yeah.
You know, so to get the story and the stuff I want, I have to do this thing I hate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not let me do something cool to get something I want?
Yeah.
You know, or like something, you know, I don't know. It feels like a carrot and a stick kind of thing, whereas I just want a carrot and a carrot.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, so let's take that and compare and contrast it with something like, say, Zelda Breath of the Wild, right? Which is a game that I'm neck deep in right now and just having so much fun with. There's an awful lot of going to a place and collecting stuff. Like, I am, in a lot of senses, like, looking for all of the orange shrines so I can turn them blue. I think the thing is, like, you get something that makes you stronger. Yes, there is a result from getting the thing on the other side of it, but doing the actual thing is fun. It is not just out there in plain sight, you know, for you to, like, you know, just kind of, like, you know, bump up into stuff until you get it.
Like, finding the thing is fun. Finding the thing is a task. Once you're there, you do a task that is fun and you get a meaningful upgrade.
Yeah.
You know, so there's, like, multiple levels to the shrines being different than, like, picking up a bunch of bananas in Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
You know, they're not everywhere. Like, it's kind of like those little seed guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's 900 of them, and yet it still feels cool every time you find one.
Yeah.
There's 900 of them.
I'm never going to find all of them.
I don't think you're meant to. Like, I think that, like, you know, because once you get to that point, like, you're.
Yeah.
Have you unlocked the function that they fulfill?
No, not yet.
Okay. Do you care if I say what it is?
Go for it.
If anyone considered, I don't know why anyone considers a spoiler. Increases your inventory space.
Oh, shit.
So it's like, I can hold more weapons. You can hold, and you can do it with shields, bows, or weapons. That's really meaningful.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you get, like, 4 or 5 extra weapon slots, like, you're pretty good.
Yeah,
you know, you don't need to do all 900 to, like, max out your inventory on any number of those things. Like, you know, I don't feel the need to have more shields.
Yeah.
Like, the 6 shields or whatever I can start with is probably fine.
Yeah.
So like it's you know, if you collect all 900 of them, I think that that's just for completionist. But yeah. That's again, that's what I want though out of a thing. And the mistake that Rocket makes is that a lot of the cool stuff you can do is tied to the mechanic. So again, it's a carrot and a stick. Like when you get sent to this first world and they're saying the Secura bots are reactivated, it's like I'm working on a way to deal with them, but you need to get 80, you know, and then like different font picture of the thing you have to collect to do that. And like attacking a dude could just be a basic verb.
Yeah.
You know, unlock things that feel like cool bonuses. Don't unlock the video game through this like collecting, you know?
Yeah. Or if you're going to build a level around you being, if you're going to build a level around you being kind of disabled, right? Not having your full capabilities, maybe don't make that the first impression that your game makes, right? You know, Metroid does that in a lot of cases for a very good reason.
Yeah, and like Deus Ex does it too, but your Deus Ex moveset is really strong, like right out the gate, you know. And same thing with like the later Deus Exes, like you start out super capable, you know, you don't have all of the like the perks and things you're playing the game for, but you still start out like baseline capable, you know, and that's important. Like, you know, you don't feel like you can't do things. You can still engage in the basic verbs of the game.
Yeah, I'm not being chased around a void by a clown.
Yeah, yep. Did you, when you started in this and you went into Clown Land or whatever, did you go out into the ocean at all?
I did a little bit, but not very far.
You can go surprisingly far, and the music fades, and it starts getting creepy, and then you just hit a wall. But like, there's this weird attention to detail where, like, as you get closer to the island, the music gets louder, and it gets creepier the further you get.
Nice.
It's kind of cool. Like, I don't think it adds up to anything, but it's a neat thing.
Yeah. No, I didn't do that. Like, so this whole thing takes place in an amusement park. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's called what is it? Not JoJo's World, Whoopi World, because you have a mysterious scientist whose face is blacked out who named his park after one animal, and the other one is jealous.
So you're a robot on like a spaceship and or amusement park thing.
Yeah.
And your owner wants to go to a party, so he's like, you know, take care of everything for one night. Here's the star of our attraction, which is a walrus. And then we also have this like ne'er-do-well fox.
Is it a fox or is it a raccoon?
Or like raccoon thing. Yeah. Like who's wearing clothes, looks really miserable. Like when it shows the two of them,
well, they're both
like,
in cages.
Yeah. They're both very small cages.
Yeah.
Like, and you know what a walrus is? Aquatic. You know, just like we gotta dry him out every once in a while so he doesn't get used to comfort. Like we use water as a reward around here.
Yep. You know? I found this tortoise. I'm gonna throw him back in the water so he can they're
but
land
only
animals.
When he minds. Yeah. Like only if he does the tricks I want him to do. And then that's the story, is the raccoon takes over.
Yeah. And his plan literally consists of a sheet of paper. It's like a brochure for the place. He's crossed out the walrus's name, written in his own, and drawn a knife in the walrus's back.
Yeah. The end. And that's how he reprogrammed all the robots on this like amusement park island.
Yeah.
And there's probably more stuff that happens. And there are a lot of like puzzles with the physics. Like your little tractor beam gun like does stuff apparently.
Yeah.
According to the internet. But Like you, every time I looked at a walkthrough, it was exclusively just people collecting fucking things. Like,
yep. Okay, and make sure you go around left of the dinosaur in order to...
Yeah, like get the this line of widgets.
Yeah.
There's a really frustrating thing. You can walk through a ring in the first level and start like a time challenge where you have to go through a series of rings.
Yep.
I had like 10 seconds left and all the rings disappeared.
Uh-huh.
It made me die before I died.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, is it because it would have been physically impossible for me to complete it?
Maybe.
You know, what was the motivation there?
That certainly didn't stop them when I challenged a go-kart to a race. I challenged Speed Buggy to a race. I'm like, okay, well, I've got a wheel. It's fine. And then just like within 10 seconds, he was out of sight. Like,
yeah,
if I physically can't do this, don't let me do it. Say, oh, you don't look like you're tough enough, champ.
Yeah. Well, and that's the shitty thing, is that what it wants you to do is come back.
Right.
With like later upgrades for completionist sake, because like that's this era of video, or this, not even this era, that's this system. That's the Nintendo 64 of video games. Like, you know, can you do all the things? Some of them are just tedious tasks. They're not like puzzles or like cool things. You just have to fill out your checklists.
Yeah.
You know,
it is a game design that implicitly says this will eventually be fun, maybe, but not now. Yes. And it's made to set people like us up for failure when we say, oh, it's not fun. And people say, you just didn't play far enough.
Yeah. Which, like, you know, guilty, I guess.
Did you just choke on your words, you Philistine?
I accidentally looked at like Qualcomm Island or whatever the name of this game is. Like,
well, the Qualcomm Island.
Yeah, just the cell phone mascot thing.
Oh yeah,
you know how they all look like they are going to try to sell me Crazy Frog. Like, this guy literally looks indistinguishable from a Crazy Frog character on the front. Like,
oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah. No,
yeah.
Have you seen that? Like that Qualcomm. It was from a couple years ago. The Qualcomm like keynote address.
No.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, it is literally like straight up, just like a song and dance routine about. It's a song and dance routine about phones and technology and the future of the cloud, with like DJs coming out and people in mascot stuff. Like, it's ridiculous.
There's Big Bird's in it.
What?
The Big Bird's in it.
Yep.
The most insane keynote ever, Qualcomm at CES 2013.
Yep.
I will definitely.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're just like, keep some tissues around because your nose is going to start bleeding.
Okay.
Knowing you and your relationship to both technology and marketing.
Okay.
But yeah, like that is exactly what this, like, this would be in line with that.
This is pretty intense. This guy's doing mimes, like, to move the background map around. This young guy with a picture of a polar bear with shades on his shirt. Like, he's like a badass Brett McKenzie.
The actual story behind that is that was not a presentation that was given for the benefit of American audiences.
Okay.
Yeah, it is meant to have like a more global kind of appeal, and that just, yeah, like, that's what fly is. Yeah, that's what fly. I mean, like specifically like China. Like China and Singapore, like that is kind of the way that stuff goes.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So it wasn't for us, but out of context for, you know, if you act like it is something that was for us, it's ridiculous.
It still looks super silly.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like, you know, definitely looks super silly to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what else about Rocket? I don't know. Like, it seems like this game, for being as loved as it is and being kind of like complex, should have more to say about it. But it's like, I just sat down with it and I was like, oh, it wants me to collect a bunch of things. And like, you know, like you said, it's hiding its bushel. It's light under a bushel. Like, you know, no thanks. Yeah. I'm good.
No.
Not there's for lots me. Of like people who like it on GameFAQs.
Yeah, this is one of the best reviewed games that we've seen on GameFAQs.
Absolutely. Like, I'll sucker punch you if you don't like this game. It says freakish thunder.
Yeah.
Okay. Chill out.
And even the board has people who just will not chill out. Let's see here. Dirt Cruncher wrote in a topic, another Rocket appreciation thread. Okay, so you know that people like this, but they just don't like about it. They just don't like it enough. Dirt Cruncher says, I mean, look, he said this 5 months ago. I mean, look, everybody knows Zelda's great. Everybody holds their breath when Rockstar announces a new game, and for good reason. But when the underdog makes an incredible title, that's some real gaming magic. It's one of my favorite parts of the medium, finding those gems that are so overlooked. So here's to Sucker Punch and their first foray into gaming. You guys fucking did it. Sorry, the Fs are bleeped out. You guys bleeping did it. This is a staple of the N64 library. I would hold this up against the best titles of any other console.
Wow.
So here's the Sucker Punch.
The best titles of any other console.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Step aside, Planescape.
Yeah, step aside, like, you know, Super Mario World.
Yeah.
We got Rocket, Robot on Wheels. did you, in the message board has a couple. Did you find the one that was Rhubarber with his, I'm probably just stupid, but?
No, I did not.
She's, I'm probably just stupid, but Clowny Island equals Coney Island. Mind-blowing equals mind-blowing. Arabian Flights equals Arabian Nights, which he spells with a K.
Of course.
Pyramid Scheme is self-explanatory. And Food Fright equals Food Fight. What does paint misbehaving equals what? I can never figure that out.
Okay, that's pretty good.
And then, oh, check this out, though. The first person that answers this question correctly, Blood Cleaver says equals plain misbehaving. Like, you know that old expression?
Yeah, what are you doing over there? You caught me. I was just plain misbehaving.
Just plain misbehaving.
Yeah.
The fact for this too has a couple little bits. Like, it's not great,
Yeah.
But I hate this kid. did this. I think this kid sucks. And I'll tell you why. So you know, he's just telling you like how great the game is and how wonderful it is. Here's the thing I hate about him. The story section. Rocket's story is just the basic save the theme park from a crazed raccoon who stole the walrus mascot plot.
You know, like, gee, there is.
Shouldn't they just come up with something more, something new? Like, he's being sarcastic.
Right.
But it's like he's saying it as if like that is an innovative plot and not just a rejected like Tom and Jerry or like right. You know, a shitty cartoon.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Or the plot from a, like an indistinguishable game from 2 years earlier.
Yes. Like this happened all the time for some reason.
Yeah.
Back then. So like the whole thing has that kind of voice to it, like a little bit like I guess that a lot of people like this game have this like, can you believe what we're being fucking blessed with? You know, kind of feeling like, oh man, this is, you know, people have a real chip on their shoulder about Robot on Wheels.
I mean, because of assholes like us walking into their house and, you know, taking shits everywhere.
Yeah, but we're stronger than them.
True. So, like, I'm pretty sure most of these people are 14.
Yeah, like we get to do that because what are they going to do? Like,
are they going to chase me in their cars?
Yeah. I feel like if we want to dunk on this game, the only thing I want to hear from this motherfucker is yes, sir.
Gary, so I literally just said like, oh, what's this person going to do if a 14-year-old stepped to me? I don't know, man, like teenagers fucking scare me.
14, I don't know. 14, I still feel like that might be young enough to where like I could inherently take them.
Yeah, you could rest your hand on their head and keep them at arm's length as they swing.
Yeah, 14, but like once you get to 15, I feel like that's when the pituitary starts cranking overtime. Right, and it's just like, right. This kid is too horny to fight. Like, I can't, you know, this kid is like, he is, you know, it's like that Dr. Strangelove. Like, he is so full of semen that he is like stronger than two men.
Too horny to fight. His very presence makes the gem in my hand light up. Fuck.
Yeah.
Trevor, why'd you do this to me?
God damn it, Skylar.
Going back to this Dirt Cruncher fella, again, 5 months ago, I love these sigs that are like super serious. His signature is, if you want to keep a friend, never test him.
Somebody tested Dirt Muncher.
Yep. I love the super angsty, like, this is a person who's broken up with a lot of friends, like in the way that only a teenager can break up with a friend.
Yeah. Or that guy, like I've said a bunch of guys, the guy who I hate follow on Facebook.
Oh yeah. The big booker.
And he's 31 and he posts shit like that all the time.
Yeah.
Like no nonstop. Like, is it things like just like, you know, sometimes you think you have a good friend, but then you find out where their loyalties lie. And like, their loyalties? Are you out of your fucking mind? What are you talking about?
Who are you, Ho Chi Minh?
Like, okay, last king of Scotland. What are you gonna do? Cut off all his arms and legs and put him on a fucking table? Yeah, I don't know. It's ridiculous. Like, no. That kind of attitude. You know, because it's such a dumb cliche when someone's like, oh, they like drama. And it's oftentimes a thing that is said about women and just misogynist, yeah, yeah. You know, like, oh, they're talking about their feelings. They like drama. Like, no, they're just they're being assertive and you don't like it, you know. But that idea of just kind of being like, my friend group is this constant sense of politics and cliques and stuff, like that is something that you are either taking a perverse joy in or are not like mature enough to just ditch.
Mm hmm.
You know, like, I wouldn't, there's like the things that like, if it's actually bad enough to where like I would feel betrayed, like I feel like I wouldn't be friends with that person in the first place.
Yeah.
And if it happened, I wouldn't like try to beat them back and I wouldn't, you know, be that broken up about it because they're probably a dick.
Right.
You know, like, I guess maybe these people are just like really bad judges of character.
Maybe. Or they're in school, which is literally prison for children.
Yeah.
And they have to deal with them on a regular basis. And there is some permanence to their social decisions.
For sure. I was thinking more in terms of like people who never give it up.
Oh yeah. I mean,
you know, like kids, like, yeah, like there's, you know, there's that sense of like cliques and popularity because like everything is an insecure nightmare, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but like that kind of attitude that people have when they get older and they're like, you know, man, I couldn't go into work and face blankety bloop, you know, after what they said about blankety bloop. And it's not something like gross or like racist or anything. It's just like, they're like, man, you know, I don't think that like that they shouldn't have worn that dress, you know, or something like that. Like, it's something super superficial.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
I've got breaking news on Dirt Cruncher. So,
oh, please.
What I just read is a more recent signature. 3 years ago on this very same board, in a topic titled N64 equals the king of 3D platformers, the actual message is
stop being that drum, Dirt Cruncher.
I feel like the actual message is pretty boring. It includes the title. Obviously, most people who come to this board already know how awesome this game is. Proved you wrong. But his signature is flashlight. Sorry. Flash like lightning, burn like straw. Learn to live that night like a true outlaw.
That's good. Well, let me see what song that's from.
Please tell me it's like a Coheed and Cambria thing.
It auto completed it. I was like, I didn't say flashlight lightning. so it's flash like lightning, right?
Yes, flash like lightning, burn like straw.
Okay. Which didn't this is from a song called that's actually now I feel this is a Paul Westerberg song.
Oh, okay.
Paul Westerberg is good.
Without context.
Yeah, it is a ridiculous lyric. Like, that makes me think this kid's super young. Like, back in the AOL Instant Messenger thing, where it's like, I'm going to find the perfect two-line couplet to express myself for anybody who just happens to be looking at me while I'm offline, because everyone does that because I'm a weird, egomaniacal, like, 20-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, what a cool sig.
Like, what a cool sig. Wow. Like, yeah.
You know,
and then literally everything that Dirt Cruncher posts about on Game Facts is about MMA. So safe to say Ronda Rousey was fake news or paper champ.
Don't say fake news.
Nope.
The guy who did the review, that obnoxious guy, or did the fact, Croco.
Okay.
He doesn't have a lot of stuff, but his review of Katamari Damacy is plenty of style, but not quite enough substance. Which, like, I'll give you credit for, like, a funny headline, but fuck you. Like, Katamari Damacy is good and perfect. Like, get fucked.
Yeah, it's a good headline, though.
It gets his Silver Choice Award, a recommended title.
Man. Yeah. Yeah, this is, I don't know. I only have so much in me for these 3D platformers. Like, looking back on all of this, I think the best one was Glover. Like, the most inventive one, right?
Like, not the best one, period, but the one that we've done.
The one that we've done. Yeah, sorry. I'm talking about a local variable, not a global one.
Yeah. Glover was, like, it was fine. I'm going to give that Buck. Well, I guess Buck Bumble wasn't a platformer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was definitely of a kind. I liked the way Glover played better. Buck Bumble always reigned supreme because of the song.
Well, and I think the theming of Buck Bumble's really fun.
Yeah.
True. Like, I still like the hive of insects called the horde or whatever. The herd.
Yeah, the herd.
I still think it's very funny. Yep. Yeah, you know, none of them have been good. At some point, and it sucks, but like, at some point, this is a genre we're gonna have to hit on Watch Out for Fireballs. And like,
yeah, but then we're gonna do it in Psychonauts, and we're gonna just talk about it. There's no winning.
Like, there's no, like, because I love Psychonauts, you know, but I lots of things I don't love,
right?
You know, and it's just anything less than glowing on Psychonauts is gonna be maybe a little bit rough. And then that's not even the same kind of game as, like, you know. I think that, like, what we'll do is, like, someday we'll do a live episode on Mario 64.
I mean, yeah, that's going to be the way we have to do it.
Yeah, and that'll be good. Because it's like, I don't, you know, it just won't be fun for anybody. Like,
Mario 64 off of the back of, like, everybody getting all the stars in a convention is going to be, like, there's going to be the way to do that.
Okay. And I like Mario 64.
Yeah.
Like, it's not my favorite Mario. I think that the other ones are better, but I like Mario 64. So, like, you know, we could definitely do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's such a weird big genre that was so informative to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because you've played the Ratchet and Jax.
Ratchet and Clank?
Yeah, and Jax.
Yeah, never played a Jack. You know who goes apeshit for Jack?
Is it Dennis?
Yeah, it's Dennis.
Yeah, I think I've seen him. I think I've seen one of his famous Jack Rants. I think they're logged onto jackrants.com. And like...
Yep. No, he goes crazy for it. But again, just it is a different history. Ratchet and Clank is pretty fun because it's mostly about 3D, like super fast 3D combat. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not go get all the things, but there probably are still like.
Yeah, you're still collecting some shit, but you have like lots of really fun weapons.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that as well.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's, you know, that's just such a big genre thing that it'd be weird never to do it.
Yeah.
So we just have to be, just we have to choose that battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that collecty thing. So,
yeah.
Or somebody will executive produce an episode and we'll do it.
I mean, it would be Banjo-Kazooie without a doubt is what would happen. Like, what they would do is like come in and say, I really want you guys to give a closer look to Bubsy 3D. Like, no, any kind of thing else? Okay. Like they're going to straight up like negotiating tactic us.
Oh, yeah. Like do like a real low ball.
Yeah.
Just to get us to
do you want to eat this Frisbee full of shit or do you want this Arby's?
I'll take the crab juice. Yeah, like, I mean, and then we'll be like, oh, like, they'll be, you know, do you want to do Bubsy 3D? And then we'll come back with Psychonauts, and then we'll end up at Banjo-Kazooie in the middle. Yeah, you know? I think I could see it happening that way.
Yeah,
which, again, it'll be fine. Like, I'll play anything just to, like, you know, talk about it. I'll play
anything for money.
I mean, I it's worth talking about something even if I don't like it. But I feel like it's going to be, you know, I have played that game. I don't think it's good,
mm-hmm.
you know, so and that's not going to, I don't think that's going to change. You know, revisiting it because it's 7 years later or whatever the time I last gave it a shot.
Yeah.
So, you know, which is fine. They're just not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they're for some people.
Yeah.
And even though it was never going to be for me, like I wish just because it was for people who I really liked, I wish Yooka-Laylee was better because mm-hmm. people, you know, I know a lot of people who are like, they finally made a game for me and I want them to have the same experience I have with, you know, Tyranny and Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
Where people are doing these throwback games for me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
You guys should have that.
I would want them to extend the same courtesy to me, like if an old school third person survival horror game came out and ended up not being very good.
I would love it if that happened, but if it didn't, like try to, because there is a game that's coming out that's doing that, but it's aping like PS1.
Yeah, it's already out. It's okay.
Out.
Yeah,
back
in 95 is what it's called.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wish it wasn't trying to be PS1 graphics.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a cool idea. Like, I want to play a third person, you know, a fixed camera angle survival horror game, like really badly
mm-hmm.
that was made now, but not aping those graphics.
Yeah. So. And I'm cooler with those graphics than you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be different if like maybe though that series didn't continue and we didn't have like remake.
Yep.
You know, like those mechanics like work. You can make those things and actually make it beautiful.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, kind of like not. You know, and you, I guess you could do that. That's, you know, Shovel Knight's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has the same limitations, but it actually looks really good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
Yep.
Yeah. I think also, and we can wrap up. We're, you know, probably almost done. But one of the things that I think that is about these 3D platformers that makes the difference for me between this and Psychonauts, given that Psychonauts is a console generation later, is that the environments in this are really bland because it's Nintendo 64. And that's true of Banjo as well. And like lots of big flat surfaces that have no shade. There's just one color.
This feels exceptionally flat to me. Admittedly, the one world that I saw and then like the stuff that I saw in a video, Banjo at least, I think, has a little bit more kind of verticality and like doubling back on itself than this does.
When I said flat, I mean literally colors.
Oh,
I'm talking about just visually.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm just on a platform, you know, and it's just a big. Here's a red block that I'm standing on.
Yeah,
you know? And there's no sense of place or anything to a lot of those games, I think, as opposed to like Psychonauts, where you're in really inventive environments.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, even though the platforms themselves might not be well spaced in a platformer sense, like you're actually in an area that feels cool.
Yeah.
Theme wise, whereas like. Oh, like jokey, you know, I'm in Jolly Jungle. Oh, I'm going to move to, you know, Wacky Ocean. And then after that, it's Silly Springs. You know, that's what Banjo does. It, you know, and that's not cool.
Yeah.
No, I don't feel good about those places.
No. And this is like, this is definitely, I mean, futuristic amusement park is one of the more uninspired settings you could probably have for this.
If you're not going to do anything cool with it.
Yeah.
You know, like you get like a futuristic amusement park could be like awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like I love a fake amusement park. Like that's my favorite level in Bioshock 2. Like, I like that stuff a lot. It's just, this is not that.
No.
You know, because it's just, here's a platform. Like, there's literally just a big floating platform in the middle of the first island you're on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and why is it an island? It's an amusement park. Like, I don't really understand, like, what what's going on here. I didn't get the lore. Can you remind me the person who suggested this? Because they're a new person.
Yes.
I haven't seen the name before.
Their name is one that you would recognize, but they opted to share. It's a Duo 2QO.
Okay. Yeah. I did not know the nom de plume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks, Duo.
Yeah. So thank you very much for sponsoring this. I'm happy that you came to us not with like a, hey, I think you're actually going to like this, but with, you know, knowing full well what this would be.
Yeah. I'm glad this was not confrontational.
Yeah.
I appreciate that very much. Mm-hmm. If you would like to suggest, demand, request a game, you can do so if you are one of our patrons. Mm-hmm. If you go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, you know, you can give us a certain amount of money per month and dictate a game.
Yeah.
And you know, most of the games we do for this show now are dictated, which is great. It's been fun to have people just kind of pick out stuff.
Yeah. And there's really cool stuff on the way, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I say this every couple of times, but if you have given at the level where you would get to dictate a game and you haven't received the form, check your email. Sometimes that goes to spam. You know, like your place is still held, but, you know, we're going to be moving past you. So,
yes.
If you're curious about it, if you're like, hey, wait a minute, just reach out to me. But, I will only reach out to you a certain number of times before it ends up being like, well, okay, maybe they don't want it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, which is also fine. Some people just give because they want to give.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they don't do it for rewards, which is great. We appreciate you people who do that as well.
Yeah.
You can also leave ratings and reviews on, iTunes. Very helpful. Tell your friend, podcast about it. Things like that are all great.
Yeah.
I was going to say post message board, but I said podcast instead. So,
yeah. No, it's fine. You said both by correcting yourself.
Yeah. I covered it both. So if you wanted a podcast, you want to do the abject suffering podcast, like you could.
Suffering through abject suffering. Yeah.
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 That'd be weird, but I wouldn't stop.
I don't know that I would like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop you, but you know. I think that's pretty much everything. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next time.
Yeah. So until next time, who is Dog on Wheels?
Who is Wheel Dog?
It's a Bell and Special.
No, who is Zoom Dog?
Dog?
Yeah.